I should have said I'm almost
sorry.
I can't smell. But is this the smell you smell?
Okay.
No, you did not.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and get started here.
Now, would you laugh?
Okay, we're going to go live.
Take credit for it.
Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Board of Public Works and Safety meeting to order. It is 5:01 p.m. on Tuesday, December 14th, 2021. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Penrod.
Here.
Crowder, absent.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting. Do you have any changes or corrections?
No changes. I'll make a motion. We accept the minutes of Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021.
And I'll second. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up, we'll go to the bid opening. Rosie.
All right. The first bid is from Vaughn Bond Industries.
Is that V-A-U-G-H-N?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. V-A-U-G-H-N.
Thank you.
Industries.
And this is for the North Substation upgrade. I should have mentioned that. Find the one price.
Okay. Total bid, $867,058.32. The second one is from Power Construction Group. Total bid, $961,635.
Even?
Yes. The next one's from Kent, KENT Power Incorporated. Total bid, $741,660. And the last one is from the Heidaker Wheat Lake Company. It's H-Y-D-A-K-E-R dash and then Wheat Lake.
Wheat Lake.
Like a wheat.
Yep.
Lake.
Wheat Lake. A lake of wheat.
And the bid is for $1,200,000.
$32, yes.
And $32.
Listen,
winner.
I have cheaters now,
I
and
know,
I'm not
I
wearing
to
that.
Bring mine.
Okay, we're very clear.
And that's it.
Okay, we will take those bids under advisement, and is our plan to award at the next meeting potentially?
Yes.
Okay, in 2 weeks. Excellent. Thank you. Thanks to all those who bid. Next up is Giving Gardens presentation. Come on up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Our other proposal is to use the city's land. We have two options: to walk to walk through the city's property to get to another parcel of land, gain access to private woods, or we could own all. We could deed all the property to us, but we wouldn't be able to maintain all that land.
Okay. So let's take these individually. I guess I'll start. Let's start. Go ahead with the which one you want to be on. Okay. We'll go to the parcel split first. Correct me if I'm wrong. So we're looking at the map that I think you guys presented here, and there's a little square there, and I know when I was there, I don't remember what that was. That a fire pit or something? I don't remember what that was. What was that? There's a little
red square.
That's where we're hoping to place the pavilion.
That's where the pavilion's going to be? Okay, I'm sorry. So the red line is where you'd like to split the parcel?
Yes.
Okay. And have you had conversations at all with the Planning and Building Department yet regarding a partial split?
We have a BZA meeting set up for January.
Gotcha. Okay. Is that where, Chip, is that where the partial split goes?
No. Okay. They are... The BZA has an issue because that's industrial.
Oh, it's zoned. Okay.
Which I do not see an issue with it.
Yeah.
Because it cannot be developed.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I talked to Nathan prior to that meeting, and I, stated that we don't have an issue, but BZA did. So.
Sure. So when a parcel gets split, and I'm going to talk way out of my knowledge base here, okay? So when a parcel gets split, I think it actually has to go to, there's a specific parcel committee over at the county that they have to effectively approve it and go through some process there, okay? I don't know what that looks like. I think there's some kind of is there a survey and all that stuff that goes through all that?
That's why I didn't want to bring it up early in a public meeting, but would we be willing to donate that parcel to them? It's undevelopable. Maybe they could, plan on it or whatever.
And that was what you talked about in the second part of that, correct? Which is obviously that's a lot for you guys to undertake. And from a, I think there was a conversation, I was looking through this earlier, there's a conversation about maybe planting native plants there or something in the future, what that would be. Because I know when we had chatted, it wasn't a big deal for me for you guys to use the land to get over to that wooded area. That I don't care about because it's public land, and I don't think that's a big issue. But the parcel split is obviously a little bit more challenging because of how it would be split. So I don't know. Nicole, do you have a kind of gut feeling one way or another on this?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean... Obviously, I don't know a lot about the rules for splitting parcels,
sure.
but I wouldn't have a problem with it as long as everything goes
Yeah, I mean, to me, I get that. I mean, I see pros and cons on both sides there, so I don't know. To me, if Giving Gardens is willing to, you know, effectively take care of it, maintain it, plant, I mean, to me, I don't care if you plant prairie grass on it. I don't know if Plan Commission or anybody else would have problems with that, but.
What we would have to do, because we don't have the equipment to maintain that, is just like, that land down in there, so we would do prairie land in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep them all packed to the.
Yeah. So that, I guess, go ahead.
How big is the building that you're going to put up?
It's 24 by 24.
And it's a permanent structure?
Yes.
I'm just thinking the parcel split, you have to have a survey. I'm thinking of cost.
I agree.
I don't know what your guys' cost of maintaining that versus the cost of a survey.
Doing the actual survey.
Mm-hmm.
Walker told me I think it would be around $900, but he suggested we wait for the survey until this was figured out.
Gotcha. Is it the preference of Giving Gardens to just do the parcel split and call it a day, or is there an interest in actually having that property to do more things, I guess?
I think probably just the entire property would be ideal. We can plant vining crops down the hill and then just maintain the milk path. That way we don't have to worry about, you know, taking the kids on
sure.
your property to
sure.
get to the woods, since we have liability insurance in
yeah.
place.
I mean,
but it's up to you guys
yeah.
completely. It really doesn't matter either way.
I mean, my gut reaction is, at the end of the day, is that this is land that we're not going to use, we're not going to develop. It seems like it would be a natural fit. That's a bad usage, because I'm going to say natural again, to use it for more naturalized purposes, right? To allow for that from not only from a, I guess, a water quality standpoint, but also from the broader standpoint of you know, given the opportunity for additional educational opportunities that I know you all are working on out there. So. I know Kelly's not here, but we mow that currently, right?
Correct.
And obviously, if that's one less property we have to mow, that's beneficial for the city, especially if there's not really going to be developmental opportunities on that property. Because you can't develop swampland, so or
so
lowland.
So are you talking about possibly taking the whole property, and then would you maintain it, or did you say that's too much for you?
Well, we don't have the equipment to like mow it, but we would be looking into like making it a prairie land. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
That was really where my question was: is where the definite how we as a city would look at that property if it's being more used for more naturalized purposes. And maybe this goes more to Gary from an ordinance enforcement perspective, but to me. I mean, I don't see this as being much different from agricultural usage, where they leave a field, you know, fallow for a year, or you know, other scenarios where there's wooded areas or swampy areas that are used for natural purposes. But again, I don't know what our kind of rule is, if you will.
Right. I guess we probably wouldn't worry a whole lot about it unless we started getting complaints from that neighborhood right
yeah.
there, or somebody driving by saying,
sure.
hey, that looks, that's.
Because there's no line of sight issues there that would
right.
cause a problem.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking through what the different scenarios would be. Tom, you look like you want to say something.
Well, I know like a lot of our state properties that do like prairie grass areas, they burn them off on occasion. And that was one of the scenarios that the Peabody Library ran into when they contacted us to burn, do a prescribed burn on their wetlands. We don't offer that.
Mm-hmm.
So just making sure that when you say the city maintains it, there's not an expectation of a burn-off on such a field.
Yeah.
I think the city maintains it now, but they would
they
take care of it but use prairie grass.
They mow it now.
Yeah. But if they plant it in the prairies, it's still mowable. I don't know that.
Yeah.
It's mowed about twice a year. I think it just depends on how much water is being held.
Sure.
So we would just plant more native grass
mm-hmm.
and different wildflowers. So it would
gotcha.
It would beautify the
okay.
area, really.
Sure. Sure.
But then, yeah, that way we wouldn't have to mow all of the property,
mm-hmm.
just the past few woods. So, I mean, we would have to work with a group of experts to plant that anyways
sure.
to get a grant for it.
Yeah.
So that's
Well, I just, and again, I don't know that that's as big of a deal. I guess my biggest issue is just trying to figure out from a long-term perspective. I don't want to get it to a scenario where the city says, yes, we'll deed this property over to you for natural type purposes and for educational purposes. And then we turn around in 3 years and someone complains. And now, by the way, you have an ordinance violation. You need to go mow this, right? So that's my biggest concern. I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth, if you will, in that regard. I want to make sure that that's taken care of. So,
well, we aren't planning on constructing this until spring, so that gives us some time to figure stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I agree with you, and I don't know that we're necessarily in a rush today by any means, but I don't know that waiting a while is going to solve that issue, I guess. So, I mean, to me, if we have an understanding, if there's a, I don't know if there's a designation for natural areas or...
Yeah, and we got to be careful. So I'll look at the, I will take a look at the ordinance, because when you mentioned, it's not farm ground, but I mean, I'll take a look at that, because that is farm ground that's grandfathered in.
Yeah.
So it's not created after the statute is, or after the ordinance is in place.
Yeah.
So we'll just want to take a look at that, because obviously it's a benefit, so... not a negative. So let me just take a look at how the ordinance reads, and then we can talk to the mayor about that.
Yeah, I was just trying to think. What is that? What is that currently zoned? Is it zoned industrial?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I would wonder if we reclassify it, if you will, because of.
Right.
Naturally, what it already is.
Right, right.
Because I'm sure. Well, I shouldn't say I'm sure, but my gut tells me if there was zoning pre this business park platting, it probably was zoned agricultural at that time, right?
Right.
So.
Correct.
Okay, so let's. So if you guys are okay with it, I think I'd like to table it for 2 weeks. I don't know that you necessarily have to come back in 2 weeks, but I think I'd like to table it to give Marcia some time to work on that piece. To me, I don't have a problem with you going back. I don't know if you're going to be using it now, but going back and forth to the woods, I don't think we have a problem with you guys doing that in the meantime. But to me, that makes if we can dedicate it to you all for educational purposes, and I think we do the same thing that we did probably with the property transfer of the first piece. Work that in somehow. But to me, if it's for educational purposes and it's going to from a nature perspective, be a good addition, if you will.
So it would be a lot less costly for them if we gave them the whole piece and not tried to do that.
I mean, in my eyes, and actually it's a benefit to the city, because then we're not having to mow a piece of property. Right. If they turned it a natural area, again, that's good for stormwater runoff. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to that.
Right.
That's kind of my gut reaction, if you will.
Obviously these neighbors already are near the garden, but... would it be something we'd have to let them know we're going to do?
Well, I think if there was a rezoning, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if there's a rezoning, the neighbors, I think, are notified of that.
Okay.
I do know, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's at least one neighbor that maybe doesn't get along well with you all and whatever that is. I don't want to obviously get in the middle of that, but I think there's at least one person, one neighbor that maybe is in that boat, but... have you heard from other neighbors, good, bad, or otherwise?
I mean, we have heard a lot of the other neighbors come to our events, and they all enjoy us being there. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I think at the end of the day, you look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 new properties that aren't necessarily directly impacted, although that's maybe not necessarily true because you said you already kind of take care of a portion of that property anyways, right?
Yeah.
You kind of mow to the hill anyways. So anyways, I only say that to say there are going to be new properties that will be sort of kind of impacted, but not really. But to me, again, I it's not being used. It won't be used.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for us to hang on to it. But
right.
So, okay, let's figure that out. And then in 2 weeks, we'll take it back under. We'll take it, I guess, back under consideration, and hopefully we'll have some guidance from our city attorney at that point and go from there. So, Rosie, can we make sure this is put on the next agenda? Thank you very much. Okay, thank you for your presentations. Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Next up is a pay request for Everest Excavating for the pig launch.
Everything is in order on that. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but the project is complete.
Okay. So here's my question. I know at the last meeting, I think we took the 81,765 and tabled it. Okay, so I know that's one of the numbers. But then there's also two more invoices here, one for 36,340 and one for 21,500.
That's part of
this. So the 36 is? Okay, so then, but the 21,500 is the retainage, right? Okay. So I'll make a motion that we approve the pay application for Everest Excavating with engineer's project number 13790 in the amount of $81,765 is presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next, we're going to actually, so that 36 is what's included. So we're going to go to the 21,500, and that's the leftover retainage. So I'll make a motion that we approve the invoice number 8977 for Everest Excavating LLC in the amount of $21,500 as presented.
Second. That one we're not paying.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We're not paying the retainage, right?
That actually, it's part of the retainage, but actually that is everything that's listed on the invoice is extras. That was done.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Added to the project.
Yeah.
So we are paying the 20.
Yes.
I was going to say, so that, yeah.
Because this project is complete.
Okay.
But the only invoice is that we are closed out.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought. That's how I was kind of looking at it.
Yes.
No, that's okay, because there's 21,500 left to be paid in the total project. But it also said includes retainage, so that's why I said retainage. So apologize, yep. That was my error. So motion second. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay. Next up in the Mike Cook hit parade here, we got toxicity with the IDEM agreed order.
That has been should have been reviewed by Marcia. I've reviewed it, Austin reviewed it. It is the revised one from the first time to where the things that we're required to do, we've actually had some of that removed. We already completed it. The fine that was listed in there, they've reduced the fines because of the work that we've already done. So we're okay. We're probably not going to get any lower than what we're at right now. Unless we could show a hardship, and yeah. I don't think we could show a hardship over the 4,000 some. I can't remember the exact figure.
Yeah.
So it'd be my recommendation, we go ahead and sign this agreement, and we'll return that to IDEM. And I had a phone conference yesterday with EnviroScience, and they suggested that we actually have a phone conference with IDEM after this is signed. And so we talked to the new lady that's in charge of this, the other one, he left, Kalitha, I believe is her name.
Something.
And the phone conference on that, they're trying to schedule it to be like the first week of January. And she also requested that the mayor be present at that, so you know exactly what's happening. They like that, so instead of just a municipality doing things, and then the mayor's not updated. They've had that happen in the past, so they're going to send us some dates and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then moving forward after our phone conference with Marty yesterday from Enviro, we may possibly, because they haven't found any toxicity at all, mm-hmm. zero, on all the testing that we've done so far. So after this meeting with IDEM, we may move and do three. If we can do three in a row and pass all three, then this TRE and agreed order is done. Paperwork, we sign off, and we are done now. So that's what we're leaning to, and IDEM is okay with that, but we still want to have this to make sure that everybody knows exactly what's happening and where we're at up to this point. So.
Great. Well, yeah, and actually, so Mike and I, we, as you probably remember, we've had this toxicity issue consistently over since 2017, 18?
Yeah.
Something like that.
All of a sudden, it just disappeared. And the only other thing that we can come up with is at the first of this year, we started adding alum
to our. I'm sorry?
Alum.
Alum, okay.
Aluminum sulfate to precipitate out the phosphorus out of the water and deposit it, sulfates it out to your sludge. The only other thing that me and Austin were talking that is if there was some type of a metal in there that causing the toxicity, and by adding alum, it's precipitating it out also along with the phosphorus, because since the first year, each test has been perfect. So, and there's no proof of anything that we can go back and actually look at to see if that was the case, because there was no testing or anything done to see if it was a metal. We thought it was like, you know, or it could be the cleaning products.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't, you know, using three times the amount of, you know, cleaners and stuff that they were before during the first of the pandemic. So, I don't know.
Okay.
We discussed that with Marty yesterday, and
yeah,
both those are viable reasons. But
well, I know. Yeah, I was going to say, I know your team has been working hard on this, and, you know, we went down to Indianapolis when we first kind of got the agreed order from them and said this is a bit ridiculous because we've been working hard to try to get this figured out, and every time we think we have it figured out, we do a test. First one comes back positive, second one comes back positive, third one comes up negative. Oh. So, or negative, negative, positive. Point is, you know, results are just not consistent, and so... they were willing to work with us, which I appreciate that out of IDEM, and I think they usually start harsh because there's some communities that just
can always do that.
They just yes, kind of thumb their nose at them, right? But they were willing to work with us, and I know that Mike and Austin and all them over at the Water Pollution Control Facility have been working on this. So this is I think it's a good compromise, if you will. It gives us time to get the issue taken care of to the best of our ability, but we have a, you know, private firm working on this pretty consistently right now. So any questions regarding the agreed order?
No.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we enter into the agreed order with Indiana Department of Environmental Management in case number 2021-27712-W.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion?
I will just need a copy of that so I can forward that on to IDEM and Environmental Science would like a copy too. So
we'll sign it after the meeting here and get it to you.
It can just be emailed to you, but then I don't have to have a hard copy.
Okay. Okay, all those in favor show the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Next up is vacation of public right-of-way. Chip, I don't know if you're handling this or...
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Kofelt or Kofelt?
Yes. What he's doing, he wants to, at some point, expand and develop those three lots. And there was a undeveloped...
Alley in the middle of it.
Alley in the middle, mm-hmm. Yeah. So...
Yeah, and... Yeah, I was trying to remember because I just looked at it. The alleyway, yeah, there's not even an alley on the other side. The other side obviously was either vacated or something. So here's the alley we're talking about. There's not even an alley at all over there. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the process here is, We take a look at this, and then we send either a positive or a negative review over to council, and then council...
I guarantee council's going to say that we have to have a survey. We were hoping to not have a survey, but I know the parcel committee will request a survey, so...
Okay, but we still... But that's still the process.
Yes.
We give a positive or negative and then send it on to the council.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any concerns about this specifically, Nicole?
No.
I mean, to me, if the alley went through, like on the other side, there was an alley there, I would probably have some concerns about it, but because there's not an alley on their side, and that isn't, again, your two properties from North Street, so to me, this makes a lot of sense. So I'll make a motion that we pass on a favorable recommendation for the vacation of the alley there at, oh, it's what, just south of, is that property? Just south of 368 North Oak? Yeah, that's my motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. Motion seconded for...
I have a question. Did you say they didn't want to get a survey?
Cost-wise and time-wise, they did not. But it's not in our requirement, but I think the plat...
Right, they may require it.
Yes.
The Plan Commission might require it.
Yeah, so I...
Yeah, but that would not be our call.
Well...
Yeah, they
not you. But
yes.
Dan may have something to say about that.
Okay.
Just knowing Dan may have something to say about it. But I should point in your direction.
That's okay. He's in this direction.
Okay. Okay. Further discussion on that. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay. Next up is the request for parking spaces to be blocked for the 3,000-year-old tradition of the fire department candy giveaway.
Denied.
Thomas.
Because we opted again this year not to do the inside candy giveaway, last year, we, as you may recall, we did this exact scenario that went very well. We have people line up their vehicles on Chauncey Street heading north. Come around the corner, and then right about midway down the sidewalk is where we put Santa and my firefighters to give the candy out, and people just take the candy and drive away.
Wave at Santa?
Yeah, wave at Santa.
Drive through, wave at Santa.
Socialism.
Santa, for social distancing purposes, elected not to have people up close, stepping up people.
Sure. Sure. Probably a good decision at this moment with our county being red, so...
I'm there.
Okay, but it's the same thing as last year then?
Yes.
Okay, great. Any questions about that, Nicole?
No.
Would you like to make a motion?
Did you see my note about the light up cones that I think would direct?
Approve the street closing permit requested by the fire department for the candy giveaway on December 24th, 5:30 to 8:30.
I'll second. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. I also want to mention that I really enjoy the reindeer on the courthouse square picture. Is that you, Mike?
Yes, there was complaints that there was no reindeer, so I added that.
Yes, I like that very, very much.
There was complaints on my artwork, which I have no Picasso.
I would like to encourage you and Rachel to touch base to make sure that that's being properly put out there to the public. So thank you.
And I'll be finishing that report.
Okay, so next is the permit to cut into curved streets or alleys for 881 East Deer Path. As I see it, that's a new home. So any issues with that from the peanut gallery? No? Okay. Any questions about that?
No.
I'll make a motion. We approve the permit to cut into curved streets or alleys for 881 East Deer Path as presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Next up is the permit to cut into curved streets or alleys for 729 Norfolk Cove. Same situation. Any issues from the peanut gallery? No. Okay. I'll make a motion. We approve the permit to cut into curved streets or alleys for 729 Norfolk Cove as presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. I'm sorry. I'm going to burn through these. Next up is 754 Norfolk Cove. That's really hard to say fast still, but same situation. Any comments, questions, concerns? Hearing none, I'll make a motion. We approve the permit to cut into curb streets or alleys for 754 Norfolk Cove as presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor, show the usual sign. It's unanimous. Next up is a permit to cut into curb streets or alleys for 344 West Orchid Court. It's right around your neighborhood, isn't it?
Must be Joel.
Is it? Okay. any questions, comments, concerns on this one? Hearing none. Would you like to make that motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the permit to cut into curved streets or alleys at 344 West Orchid Court as presented.
I'll second. Further discussion? All those in favor should be the usual sign. It's unanimous. And Rosie just gave us two more.
Wow.
Okay. See, this is what growth looks like, friends. This is what growth looks like. So this is, okay, this is also over on, that's over on the northeast side near Mary River. So first is the permit to cut into curved streets or alleys for 388 North Brennan Street. Any questions? You want to see it? Does anybody want to see it? Okay, I'll make a motion. We approve the permit to cut into curved streets or alleys for 388 North Brennan Street as presented.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Let me put it on my pile. Well, that one's a different one. Uh-huh. That's not a new house. Let's see. I wonder if that is, if they don't currently have gas. I mean, installed. Yeah, electric, and they want to install gas. Do we know if, do we know if 9 Barber Drive, because it says installed gas main. I'm assuming that means that it's a new gas service line and that they maybe don't currently have gas service at the home. Do we know?
9 Barber Drive?
Uh-huh. 9 Barber. That's in Wooddale. I mean, my assumption is based on what it says, it's a new installation. It doesn't show that it's abandoning an old line or anything like that. So I've got to imagine
that
they're hooking into the gas system there.
Yeah, they're born under that.
Mm-hmm. Under all of our new infrastructure issues.
They don't have an LP tank on their aerial view, but.
Oh, so maybe that's it. Well, okay. Okay. I'll make a motion. We approve the permit to cut into curved streets or alleys for 9 Barbara Drive as presented.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Mm-hmm. Done on our pile. Okay. Next up, we have Steve Smith here from 120 Water to talk about a lead and copper line identification program.
Correct.
Come on up.
So, 120 Water is based down in Indianapolis. We are partnering with Alliance of Indiana Rural Waters to get information out to utilities across the state.
Okay.
I reached out to Mike and explained about this revision. So, you have the Clean Water Act, you've got the lead and copper rule, you've got the lead and copper rule revision.
Yes.
Which is getting redone as of tomorrow.
Okay.
And it's going to force every municipality to have a service line inventory of not only what the city has, of what the residents have, and then identify any potential lead lines that are out there.
And that's going all the way up to the home, correct?
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
And our software app will help do that.
We'll be able to do that. So I know one of the things that Mike and I have talked about in the past, or really recently, has been obviously our responsibility has always been the main and up to the meter. And now this, I would say, onerous rule by the federal government is to go from the meter to the home, that we are now responsible effectively for not only identifying, but potentially in the future, replacing.
Correct.
Yes.
Offering replacement at this point.
Offering, yes. Sure. So, okay, so can you talk a little bit about the process that you go through of effectively, if we were to move forward with this agreement with you, what kind of services you'd be providing?
Sure. So, what we do is we take any records that Mike and the utility has, whether it be tap cards, spreadsheets, any kind of property parcel information.
Sure.
We take that and then we go out to public databases to build on that. So we have a predictive model. So let's say we knew 50% of the city side and none of the resident side.
Sure.
We're going to use a predictive modeling to limit potholing.
Okay.
And going out and guessing where things are.
Okay.
We can also go into later on reaching out to the residents themselves.
Yeah.
And do mailings and try to get information back, because as the model grows, becomes smarter and becomes a better predictor model.
Sure. So what? So obviously, I know that Mike is kind of excited about moving this direction because of all the things we're hearing at the federal level and stuff. What should residents know about this kind of rule and the reason and rationale behind it?
All right. The good thing is we're alerting utilities before 2024.
Okay.
After 2024, anything that's done becomes much more public.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the inventory going forward, then you can save off some of that. But as of now, you guys don't have to give notices on what you're doing. You're just putting together an inventory.
Gotcha.
if you guys identify it.
Yep. And that's to identify lead and copper service lines.
All service lines.
All service lines. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
And the other key part of this is after 24, anything that is unknown will be considered.
Ah, that is a very key point to know.
Okay.
So if we don't have it identified, it is considered lead, period. So.
And one other thing that I would add is if you guys have this inventory, you need money for it.
Yeah.
You get first in line if you have a complete inventory.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And as you probably know, and maybe as our residents should know, if you will, that is that we have the last time the State Revolving Loan Fund had a program to try to do some infrastructure projects, we had submitted for some work on lead line replacements around the city and weren't granted, although I think there was lots and lots and lots and lots of communities that weren't granted because of the sheer amount of requests that came in. But with that being said, I think there's a good opportunity here, and to me, this is a great first step to prepare us for this federal guideline. Do you have any questions or thoughts, Nicole?
So once you identify the lead lines, then the city has to replace them up to that?
Well, we're going to, again, take the big picture. We're going to identify all lines.
Okay.
Rule out unknowns. And then if you guys actually find lead, then there's going to be a step program after that for replacement. So we're not identifying it as we rip out in 3 years.
Okay.
We're just saying here's a plan. And our government and the state both like plan. Once you have the plan,
they do.
Then there's progression from there.
Great. Okay. And this is, when do you anticipate that this will be completed?
It says 2 years. If we need to go beyond that because there's other complications, but this is not an open-ended agreement. It's a two-year agreement.
Okay.
Things could be added to it if you guys need other services.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, we would predict 2 years. So 8 or 9 months to build the model. Let you see you guys where you are, and then you've got almost 2 years to get everything in place.
What interaction do you anticipate of having with our residents directly? Do you anticipate having a lot of interaction, no interaction with our residents?
That would be up to you guys.
Okay.
Because we can do all of it.
Okay.
We can do some of it. We can do part of it.
Gotcha.
But we come back to you saying, here's what we know.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we can do.
Okay.
It's a piecemeal add-on if you guys want to do it. If you guys think you can handle it and get good residents.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
This is
the original. Yes. And the reason from the difference between the what was presented to us and the new number is because of your partnership with the Alliance of Indiana Rural Water. Okay. Okay. So, Marcia, do you want to take a look at this before, or are you looking at it? That's the same.
Yeah. Well, but I understand some things have changed.
Well, I think the only, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the only things that have changed is actually just the discount, if you will.
Correct.
Right? Do you want to say, you have the new one, yeah.
I just scratched it off. So this is 16.
Yeah. So the only thing that's changed is that 19 has turned into 16.
It was 1,500.
No.
The top one.
That.
Oh, but she just told me it was this one.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry. That's a huge difference. Okay, so the 1,500 is still there.
Yeah.
And this is basically just a fee-for-service agreement, basically. And okay. And let's see. Okay, it's annual. They're doing fees are billed annually. Okay.
Okay. So wait, the fees are billed annually, and you think it's going to take 2 years, right? 24 months. Will it be completed in then, or is there a chance that'll continue past that? Or?
Honestly, it's new, and depending on the records and the things like that, the model could be built easily, and the actions after that may go beyond the 2 years, but we would build the model, give you as much information as you intend to build for the 2 years, then actions after that, whether it's reaching out to residents or things like that, that would be a whole different thing.
Okay. Is there anybody else doing this in the state?
No.
Just had it?
Honestly, there's almost nobody else doing it in the country.
Okay.
And it is our sole reason.
So I think, Marcia, are you asking about other companies or you're talking about other communities?
No, other companies.
Okay, okay. Are you
Well, here's my point.
Yeah.
Is if we get, you know, too much, my question is, do we need to bid this? even though it's a service contract, at some point we get too high. I'm not worried about it right now, but that's why I ask if this goes on and on and on. That's my point.
Gotcha, yeah.
Okay.
What? And that, I think Mike had said that you're talking with or you're working with other communities?
Well, Fort Wayne's a customer, Plymouth's a customer,
yep.
Citizens down in Indianapolis is a customer, Bloomington's a customer, Anderson's a customer. I had 5 appointments within Indiana communities today.
Right, and you just go in with this, they approve it, and there's no bid because there's nobody else doing it anyway,
right.
But also the amounts are below our bid requirements. Mm-hmm. So both things work. But that's why I ask if this is beyond that 24 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great.
Okay. Okay, well, I mean, I obviously it's something we got to do anyways before 2024, and I know Mike felt really strongly that we need to move this direction, and so I will make a motion that we go with Mike Schoeder's recommendation to enter into this agreement with 120 Water with an annual reoccurring subscription of $16,600. And the one-time cost of implementation of $1,500 is presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present.
Great.
Thank you. Yes. You want me to? Here, I'll put it in my pile. I'm here. Okay. Next up is the renewal for the cemetery mowing. Rosie, I know you worked on this.
Yeah, I worked with Kelly and Marsha, and we feel like we haven't had any problems with the mowing. And so Kelly suggested to see if I could get them to give us a quote to renew it for another 3 years, and Marsha agreed as long as it wasn't over 25, which it's not.
Okay.
So he would like to proceed to
Kelly would?
Yes.
Kelly would like to move forward? Okay.
To award this to
property management?
Property management, yes.
Okay. Questions, Nicole?
This is
only their first renewal, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they've done it for 3 years.
3 years,
yeah.
So it'd be 3 more.
Yep.
Yeah, it went from 17.5 to 20 or 19.7.
Was that this year's versus next year's?
Yeah.
17.5 was this year's.
19.7 to
20. Yep, and then again, it stair steps up from there, a couple hundred bucks. Okay, I'll make a motion. We enter into the mowing agreement with Hodges Property Management as presented. Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Okay. Bills.
I'll make a motion to pay accounts payable vouchers dated December 14, 2021 in the amount of $1,513,526.31.
Second. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show with the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present.
I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $232,892.96 plus overtime in the amount of $7,064.60 for the pay file ending 11/19/2021.
I'll second. Further discussion? All those in favor show with the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present.
I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $234,019.77 plus overtime in the amount of $13,501.41 for the pay file ending 12/3/21.
I'll second. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present.
And I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $37,946.95 for the pay file ending 12/10/2021. This amount is specifically for wellness awards.
And I'll second. Further discussion. All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Okay. Department reports. Chip.
Westgate, I know you. I'll take some of your luster. We're having a meeting January 24th to discuss the upcoming project. meet with a couple potential clients coming to Columbus City, so it's kind of exciting. Trail grant was submitted. They had a couple questions. We're getting those answered. Nothing else, really. It's kind of been busy, but just big project stuff.
Okay, questions? Okay. Savannah, you want to introduce yourself and talk about what the Youth Council did?
Well, I'm Savannah. I'm a part of Columbus City Youth Council, and as of like our last meeting, we met with Mark from the park. And we toured all of the parks that are in Columbia City, as well as just got kind of updated on what's going to be like going in on the old high school property. And then we also talked about a possible service project, which would be each of like us, part of Columbia City Youth Council, would donate $10 of our own money to buy things for Mission 25. We also, at our last meeting, talked about the testing of the Wi-Fi for downtown, as well as the restaurant that is supposed to be getting put in.
Thank you. Sean?
Well, we've had a busy week, like usual. They're putting in new storage facility out at Countryside Trailer Park. We've been working with them on getting service installed out there. We had to lower some lines so they could put a driveway in that was 8 foot deep, so that was interesting. But you know, we obviously had the bid opening today for the North Substation Entry Project, which is hopefully going to be awarded in 2 weeks. because Walt wasn't here, and we wanted Nicole and Walt and everyone here, I was going to do I have a small presentation on what that project's going to entail and why it is important and what it's going to bring to the city. So I plan on doing that at the next meeting, just so we have everybody here. But now we had a little bit of an incident on Saturday with the weather. Weather issues, we were in at 2 a.m. on Saturday morning until about 6 a.m. with storm-related outages, and then back in at 8:30 a.m., and the guys and I were here until about 3 o'clock that day, working to get power restored. To be honest, the number of outages was small, but the spread and location was massive. So it was all the way from Aetna to right by the South Substation, which is on Radio Road. So we were as far away from each other as possible. But I did have three crews, which was awesome. So I was able to dispatch them and keep them moving. We had 90% of our customers from the major outage, which started at 8:30, were back on by 9:30. We just at that point have individuals to get back restored. I'm so proud of my guys for their work and the way they work together. You know, when we're all sitting around and arguing, get kind of we run out of things to do at 3 o'clock. When we're home at 3:30, we like to argue and complain. But when it hits the fan, all my guys pull together and they do a great job of getting everybody's power back on. So I couldn't be any more proud of those guys. So other than that, I did send a report to the mayor. He may or may not share. So.
What report was that? Did you just send it?
Friday.
Oh.
You thanked me for the report.
Okay, well then I read it. Well then I don't know. You just shared the report. Why don't you share your report for you?
Mike. In our Thickner building, we had it's called a Leaper unit, and it provides air conditioning and heating for that building, and that's one out. Sometime last week, it burned up the heating unit, burned up the air conditioning unit, so we're going to have that replaced. It's $11,850 for a new one, so I'll be contacting them tomorrow to start that process. New VFD was installed for aeration blower number one. Rider Electric was in and done that. That's working great. We got that done. My staff has taken one of the motors off the dice door after the inspection and pulled the motor apart, pulled the fan off. They had a crack in it, so they sent it over to a heavy truck. A big thanks to them. for cleaning that crack, welding it back shut, and then they changed the bearings and everything out and the motor, and then reinstalled it. So they've done a great job on that. They've got one more to go. The fine screen VFD over the weekend from the power, it took a hit or something, and so we've had to bypass our screen, and for us to order one of those, it is March, that we might get it by March. To cross-reference and get another one just like it, it's impossible to get those because they're waiting on parts from Japan.
Okay.
So we turned to eBay, and Rick was able to find one in California that we ordered. So we're taking a chance and
ordered it. See, eBay is going to be the savior.
And
one.
Hopefully it will be here so we can correct that. But since it's down, the guys took the initiative today and tore the bearings out of it and installed brand new bearings. So it'll be ready to go when they start it back up. As I mentioned, the recirc pumps, they have cleaned those out, adjusted the cutters. And those seem to be working pretty good right now.
Good.
So after they've done that, that's all I got.
Questions? Okay. Thanks, Mike. Gary.
The insurance company for USSA deemed Officer Cook's car total loss. However, they didn't have the correct vehicle. They had it as a rear-wheel drive, and it's an all-wheel drive. So we went back and forth a few times. They sent us another offer. And it was lower than the first offer, which shouldn't have been like that. But so Rosie and I have been going back and forth with them, and we just decided we're going to turn it over to our insurance company and let them battle
with
them.
Let them do the battle.
Mm-hmm. Instead of us trying to battle it out with them. So
yep.
Got a quote back from the installer to strip the car, and some of the equipment was damaged, obviously. I mean, he's like right at $9,000, so we got to put $9,000 on top of that. So.
Yep.
And that was one thing that they didn't have in their offer. So, anyways, we're just going to let our insurance handle it and
gotcha.
Go from there. Officer Cook and Tiffany from Toys from Tots made arrangements to go over to Fort Wayne PD and pick up the items that they were going to donate to us. So I think that's all handled. We're all set for patrolling for presence at Pages Crossing on December 18th. Should have a nice little program for that. Signed up with Drone Sense, which is a program that tracks all of our flights with our drone, and keep track of all the steps prior to the flight through the FAA, so it keeps track of all that stuff for you. So if anybody ever audits you or requests a report, it's all right there. So at some point, I'd like to put a demo on for the Board of Works and Council, and you can actually watch it on TV.
Oh, nice.
Drone up there, so it's really a neat program. Dispatch, we're still doing interviews. We did 6 yesterday, doing 6 Wednesday. So we got it down to 12 right now. And then we'll narrow that down to 6 for the informals. Received our tabletop that is under warranty, and we're just waiting for the company to come and install it. And still waiting on the new chairs that we've ordered several weeks ago, because I think it's just a delay in products. For dispatch.
Okay. Question? Thank you, Gary. Mike.
We've been hooking up quite a few new services out in Cambridge area. And also the Brennan's Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got some good news that the Vactor Trust is complete.
Okay.
It is supposed to be delivered over to Brown Equipment. The first of this week, hopefully, we'll have it by the end of week or sometime next week.
Great.
So.
Excellent. Questions? Thank you. Tom.
Our breathing air compressor that we purchased approximately, well, it's been right out of year. We've had some issues with it, had the company come in and repair it about monthly. And I have told them that they either need to get with Scott, who originally built those, they sold the company, Scott Air Max 3M owns Scott. And they either need to get this thing figured out or get us a replacement for it, because we're not going to settle for something that we're having to get be repaired monthly.
How old is that?
About a year.
I was going to say, I thought it was pretty new.
Yeah. It's just been a pain behind it, and so I told them they need to get something figured out because we're not going to deal with this lifetime. Right. Our last compressor was donated to us. It was 40 years old and had to be repaired twice. So a little bit of a change there. Just kind of keeping the Board of Works posted on that. We're in the process of cleaning up the museum for our dedication on the 28th. Just word to all.
Press release should go out next week. Rachel,
oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. That's fine. We can talk about it. It's not our thing.
Save the cat. You saved the cat.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
But now the chip just threw it out there. We did take a cap off of a silo yesterday. It is not our typical things to do. We do not normally take cats out of trees and all of that because if a cat finds its way up a tree, they can find their way down a tree. You don't see cat skeletons in trees. This particular case, it seemed that the cat did not know how it got up there and was not in such a manner that it was going to be able to find its way back down. We still can't answer how the cat got
all the way up there. That's
so
a long way up.
It was a very isolated circumstance, and I want to make sure that the public knows that we do not do cat rescues out of trees. That's not a thing. Typically, when you go to take them out of a tree, they go further up the tree and cause even more of an issue, and we can't get them. So just want to make sure that that is addressed this evening. It was an isolated incident. Thanks, Chip.
No, thanks, Facebook.
Speaking of the training facility, we are the council or the Board of Works and council have inquired if we were going to be doing outside trainings. We do have one scheduled, and that is just because getting our fire park instructors up to NFPA live fire, the 1402 standard. We do have to put on a training. We won't be filling the class because we don't have enough guys to fill the class, which is required with 15 people. So we will be advertising for that class. We went through insurance and got the insurance covered on that. The whole,
yep.
And Marsha to overlook some stuff. Just wanted to kind of post you guys. We will be in March offering that ISFSI training for 1403 for the light fire training instructor. I spoke about the dedication and the candy giveaway 6 to 8 p.m. on Christmas Eve. We had the streets closed, or asked the streets to be closed down at 5:30 for setup, and tear down will be done by 8:30, but the actual giveaway is from 6 to 8. I do want to say that this year is probably going to be one of those times, I will say, or until candy is gone. It was such a big success last year. Our fear is that we're going to run out. So come early and get in line early. That's all I can say because we can't plan for the unknown.
Sure.
And so when you have a candy giveaway like that, I just want to make sure everybody knows it's or until gone.
So they need to basically come from Market Street northbound on Chauncey and get in line there.
Correct.
So because that's how you get in the chute, if you will. Okay.
Correct. And it went on News 15 last year, and it's we don't know what to expect.
Okay. Question of the town.
No.
Thank you. Yeah. Terry.
Still moving forward on the Tower View SCADA project and also the Well 9 downtown. The internet free is still moving forward. We're still waiting on some parts coming off a boat from China, so
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure when that's going to get completed.
Okay.
We're moving forward with the multi-factor authentication. We're trying to get all the computers taken care of first, and then we will push out to everybody that gets city email.
Questions? Thank you. Mark?
Finished staff evaluations tomorrow, everybody. And ice rinks been open for 2 weekends. However, weather's been tough.
Terrible. Weather's been terrible.
Had a hurricane Saturday. Then a lot of rain. and it happens to be during the time the rink is open. So kind of waiting for some nicer weather for a weekend.
Sure.
We've had a couple of days where we had a decent amount of people there.
Good.
I'm kind of curious to see what it's like on a full weekend.
Yeah.
Still preparing for the father-daughter dance coming up in February, even though it sounds early. It's going to be here quick. Tickets sell in January. And then we're gradually moving things into the barn, kind of getting that ready as much as we can right now.
Okay. Thank you. Marcia.
Well, first, Tom, I don't know, there might have been an eagle or owl drop of the cat. You know, I don't know. Also, just in honor of the mayor's jacket and nothing else, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much.
I have nothing important.
Thank you.
Rosie. I have nothing.
I don't think I have anything. Was I supposed to remind somebody of something today? No?
Yeah, that we didn't have to say for
public. That doesn't ring a bell? Do you have anything?
Yeah.
Press? An audience? Okay. Well.